Okay, everybody almost in? We're almost good. Almost there. We've got two distinct and distinguished. We've got two distinct and distinguished guests here today. One of them we just decommissioned about a month ago, our former pastor, former lead pastor, Adam Ayers. We also have in attendance Mr. Wesley Davis. We, being this congregation, by the decision of the board of directors, are honoring both of these men with a position called Pastor Emeritus. So, Mr. Ayers, if you would come up. I'll try to do this without crying this time. I present to you Reverend Adam Ayers. Reverend Adam Daniel Ayers, on this 19th day of March, 2017. Didn't even make it through that. Jeez. This is joyful. It's not supposed to be tearful. They actually are tears of joy.
I have known this man since he was 15 years old.
Yes. I was a little kid. Well, not so little.
It's on both sides. He wasn't a little kid. But he drove a fast car and he had a mullet, and I'll let him tell you about that.
Some other time. On this 19th day of March, 2017, is bestowed the title of Pastor Emeritus. On behalf of Faith Worship Community, we bestow on you the title of Pastor Emeritus, recognizing over 30 years of extraordinary pastoral service. As a founding pastor of Disciples Church and Faith Worship Community, you established an ongoing fellowship that will always be indebted to your loving care. Your ecumenical ministry has extended beyond our specific body, including your work through world missions, pastoral discipleship, and training and formal university instruction. Your selfless and relentless dedication reflect the highest standards of his faith, of the faith in Christ Jesus, and are a credit to you, this church, and his kingdom, for his glory. Let the elders who rule be considered worthy, be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in preaching and teaching. 1 Timothy 5:17. Adam, Mr. Pastor Emeritus.
Thank you.
You are welcome. It is good. I'm not going to stop him. That's the pause.
It's been an honor to serve the Lord in your midst. It's been an honor to see you grow. It's been an honor to have voice in your lives. When we founded this fellowship, we wanted it to be a place where people could grow safely in Christ and prioritize him above everything in their lives. And seeing you guys today, that
you have done that gives me great relief, great satisfaction. And truly, I do love you guys. And there's nothing you've been able to do.
Jeremy and Brad, if I could get you guys up here. If you'd lay your hands on him.
All of that to say this, by the way. I'm proud of you.
If you guys would lay your hands on him. Adam. Pastor Emeritus. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. May the Lord bless you with continued preaching ability and availability. May the Lord continue to give you wisdom and insight beyond that which is human. May the Lord continue to grant you his grace. May he continue to grant you his favor. And may what you do, say, and how you act endure beyond your lifetime. Be blessed in the Lord's name. You're welcome.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Yes, indeed. It's your turn. Mr. Wesley Davis, come on up. This is kind of a short intro for Wes. Many of you don't know him, because he lives in Kansas, okay? Some of you know him by name or reference because he's Mackenzie's dad, all right? This man, though, I knew him when he started at Disciples Church. I can honestly say he has got integrity, and he has got a heart for you. Even though he's in Kansas, he has a heart for you. I know that he prays for this fellowship here. I know that he upholds us. And when he has been in town and spoken to us, he speaks the word just straightforward, whatever the Lord has put on his heart, and it is always timely. So, Wesley, Reverend Wesley Eugene Davis, on this 19th day of March 2017, is bestowed the title of Pastor Emeritus. On behalf of Faith Worship Community, we confer on you the title of Pastor Emeritus in full recognition of your extraordinary service to the body of Christ. As a foundational member and pastor, your work to further the gospel and extend pastoral care to Disciples Church and Faith Worship Community is always timely and unquestioned. Your care and training surpasses the boundaries of the local church in California and in Kansas to make disciples of all nations. Your selfless and relentless dedication reflect the highest standards of the faith in Christ Jesus, and are a credit to yourself, this church, his kingdom, for his glory. Again, let the elders who rule be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in preaching and teaching. 1 Timothy 5:17. So Wesley, thank you, and you are a pastor emeritus of Faith Worship Community. Right on. You have long been dedicated to us. Gentlemen. Reverend Wesley Davis. Pastor Emeritus. Wrong one. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. May the Lord bless you, whether you be here, whether you be in Kansas, or whether you be on the mission field. All the world is your mission field. You've shown that consistently. You've honored our Savior. May he honor you in return. May he make his words go forth out of you, and that his burden would be light and his yoke would be easy, that you would find joy in doing his work and continue to find that joy in doing his bidding. May the Lord bless you with the knowledge and appreciation, knowledge of appreciation that this body has for you, continued and ongoing. Amen. Blessings. Okay, so you guys may be seated, by the way. Seeing as how Wes is out here from Kansas, and we're not doing this by proxy, we're going to have Wes say a few words. So, not real long, but he's going to say a few words. Would you like the lavalier, or would you like... Okay. Well, we kind of need to record it.
Okay. Oh.
Even better. Okay. Excuse me.
Wow. Unbelievably humiliating. I had a pastor once tell me you cannot be humble without being humiliated. Thanks, Adam. And I can't begin to express how grateful I am this honor. In some ways, it's not appropriate community because Adam's been here and been so faithful. But I want to speak about that, and Danny's right. And so in some ways, honestly, it feels appropriate because you are my church. This community has shaped my life more than anything. I want to read some scripture. It says, and I'm in the middle of Romans, so I had to switch a little bit because a couple of texts have already been read, but this is a weird start a little bit because Paul is trying to teach this church in Rome how to honor people no matter who it is and where they're from. Pay to all what is owed to them, taxes to whom taxes are owed, revenue to whom revenue is owed. April 15th is coming. Respect to whom respect is owed. Honor to whom honor is owed. Owe no one anything except to love each other. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Besides this, you know that the time, that the hour has come for you to wake from sleep, for salvation is nearer to us now than we first believed. The night is far gone, the day is at hand. So then let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. What a cool thing to be honored today. And honor to whom honor is due. You know, it's a funny thing. Adam's been here for 30 years, and from day one, it's someone, you know, I heard somebody whisper, I knew he was going to leave. And that the irony of it all, everybody waiting for the kind of the shoe to drop the whole time in this fellowship, to someday Adam's going to leave. But the reality is a lot of people have come in and out of this place. I left, but I left really in some ways. You sent me out as a missionary to Kansas, and that's how I really viewed it. And you tethered me intentionally by the leadership and your prayers, and you kept sending people out to Kansas and kept loving us, and we kept coming back, and I kept sending my kids out here, and they'd come back. I'd send them back.
Keeping her
I got tired in the back. You got tired in the back. And you grew them up. You know, I watched a little girl become a woman of God and lead us in worship today. What a cool thing. Yeah. What a generational turnover. You know, I am. My life was changed one January night when I was sent to go check out this fellowship group that wanted to come and maybe rent our building because they were outgrowing the house. And they were at a house in Huntington Beach, and I went in there, and I never saw the pastor teach, or I just heard the, because I was down the hall by the bathroom. And it was phenomenal because I'm thinking, what kind of young, these were all 19 and 20-something people going, serving the Lord. I'm like, I was from Kansas, and I grew up in a little country church, and I hated it, thinking, well, this is my duty, my lot in life, this is what I got to do. But there was something profound and phenomenal about a whole group of young people wanting to worship the Lord, so much so that I was down the hall with a whole bunch of people that never even saw the leaders, and they were just there to worship the Lord. And that became Disciples Church, and that became Faith Worship Community. And on that night, I met one of my best friends. And we sat till like 3 a.m. And we realized we were kindred spirits, and I loved him in that moment. And there's not been a thing he's been able to do about it ever since. And he's loved me, and there's not been a thing. And I've tried. But I met my wife that he introduced me to my wife that night, and through that union, I got two amazing kids that love the Lord. And now I'm going to get next weekend. I'm going to get a new son who loves the Lord. And in some profound way, though, that's what happens at Faith Worship Community. You come here, and it transforms you, and then transforms your children. What a cool thing. You know, the baby dedication today, and someday Lincoln will grow up, and he'll be a man of God leading here in some fashion. But that's just what this church does. And it's been cool because I would say, you know, not only our kids, but all of us, you know, 20-somethings all got married and had babies. So I would say, that wouldn't sound right, Adam's responsible for a lot of our babies. But that just wouldn't sound cool. But in some ways, because of that night, it transformed my life. And because you've encountered him and the people in this community, it's forever changed you. It's forever, in some ways, ruined you. You can never go back. Once you've tasted of this, you can never go back, and you'll never be satisfied with anything less than genuine, authentic community who want to love God and love their neighbor. And you honor me today. But the cool thing is, this train is going to keep on going. Brad and I talked about, like, this is a train. I got off a long time ago, but I like the ride. I like the people on this train. I keep hopping back on, and every chance I get to come back to Southern California, I hop back on and go for a ride a little while, and then I go back to my mission point. And there have been people that have been jumping off this, you know, at different stops all along the way, and now after 30 years, Adam's been on this train for a long time, and now he's going to jump off. But this train is going to keep on going, and he's going to go where God's called him. Isn't it funny because people are like, I'm mad at Adam for leaving. Why? Because I love his teaching. I want to sit under him. And even better, when I get to be one-on-one with him. So I love that I think he hears from the Lord to give to me, but now I don't think he hears from the Lord because he's leaving. And we're just sad. Huh? Because what a great teacher. Even better than that, he's a great teacher. He's a great counselor. But the guy just loves Jesus. And he loves you. He and I talk all the time about you. And there's nothing you can do about it. And in some ways, you've tried, and you've tried, and you've tried. And the world has tried, and the enemy has tried, and the enemy has tried, and the enemy has really, really tried. And there's nothing he can do about it. Because the Lord is strong. And Adam loves the Lord, and Adam loves you, and the Lord, more importantly, loves you. And so I hopped off. I'm going to keep hopping back on. And now I get a kind of a permanent seat, which is cool. Adam gets a permanent seat, and he'll hop back on, you know, and basically the ticket's kind of paid, I guess, you know, and that's cool. But there'll be other people that are going to hop off, and they're going to do their mission points, and they're going to do their things, and they're going to do their journeys, and then other people are going to keep hopping on because this train's going to keep on going. That's what I know and I believe, and I encourage you in the Lord. Keep chugging along. Keep riding this thing. Because this is the truth train. Someone once wrote, one true thing in a world of illusion. One true thing in the midst of lies. The one true thing is that the Lord is the King of all the earth and He loves you. Those words were penned by Adam Meyers also. One of my favorite songs ever. Keep on chugging. Keep on chugging. Give honor to whom honors to do. Honor Adam and Wendy. And bless them. Honor Brad. What a great thing. Honor. Give honor to whom honor is due. And honor this man of God that God has raised up. Honor the elders. Honor the leadership. Honor one another. Because the only thing you owe each other is love. John 13:35. Jesus says, you're distinctive. Others will know you are my disciples. Not by how much you evangelize. Not by how much you witness. Not by how much you go around the world. By the way you love each other. That's your distinctive. To love the people in this room, and other people will be so drawn to that love, it will forever ruin them. That's your mission. Keep on chugging. You know why? Because this train is bound for glory. Amen? Amen. All aboard!
I know, you guys are going, do we really need to hear a sermon after that? I would honestly say, probably not, but I prepped it, so. I really want to say a couple things. I will keep it short, because we do still have other stuff to go through. Some of you guys know that I used to live in Hawaii. How many of you guys knew that I used to live in Hawaii? Most of you, okay. So I used to live in Hawaii. What I did in Hawaii was I built houses. That was something completely foreign and new to me because my work experience generally had been in an office environment, and I wound up building houses. One of my friends had grace and said, hey, come work for me. I'll pay you this much money. I'm like, that's twice what I'm getting paid now. Okay. I don't know what I'm doing. So his brother taught me. So we built houses, and we did semi-custom homes ground up. So I swung a hammer. It was a great thing. What I got to see in that was that there were three specific points of building a house. One was the preparation. You got to plan. You got to have your blueprints. You got to have an idea of what you want to do with the house or create. You actually have to build the house, so you have to participate in the actual building. And then there's something that happens at the very end that I walk away from. That's the very end, because I was a laborer for that house. Okay, it's done. Cool. Looks good. Go to the next one. What I did was I left, but the house endures. So there's something that is still there that I can go, hey, Adam, drive up this road, hang a right there, go up that hill, hang a left there. When you get up to the top, there's a home over there. We built that. And he can go see that. It endures. Go visit Scott Anderson. We built that. There's another place down on Hola. We built that one too. So there's three specific points. It's the prep, the participation, and the endurance. You guys remember this? Okay, you weren't here. I wore this last time I preached. In case you guys don't remember that. For those of you who weren't here, this is My favorite team, yes. This is my favorite player, Andrew Cogliano. By the way, he is still on his Iron Man streak, and that's one of the reasons why he's my favorite player. It's because of his work ethic. He is now at 776 games as of last night without missing a game. His entire professional career thus far. He has put in a ton of preparation. He is consistently participating. He has to be there every night. He has to go practice every day. And he's one of the people that doesn't miss practice. He goes to make sure that he's ready to play in that game. There was a second person that I had brought up last time when I was talking about legacy. Eddie Aikau. You guys remember that? For those of you who were not here, Eddie Aikau was a waterman from Hawaii. Died making an attempt to save people that were on a boat. He had a board on the boat. He jumped on the board, tried to paddle in to get help for the people on the boat. Didn't make it. Never found his body. Eddie had prepared. Grew up. Somebody along the line instilled in him the idea of people's lives are worth risking mine for. That's why he was a lifeguard. That's why he was a lifeguard at Waimea. Because it was important to him that those people be safe. He prepped. Other people helped prep him, make him create who he was, the ideas that were floating around in his head about the value of human life. He participated. He was, like I said, he was a lifeguard. He regularly saved people. And when it came time to make the attempt to save people's lives, he did it. And there's endurance at this point because he didn't make it. But he tried. He went for it. And the last person that I had brought up regarding legacy was a gentleman named Lawrence Ezekiel. He was an older gentleman that I had known since I was a kid when he moved back from Columbia. He had been a Wycliffe Bible translator down there for years, actually I believe decades, down in Columbia and working with the tribes down there back out in the jungle. That man was all about Jesus. I don't know his childhood. I don't really know what he grew up in. I don't know how his family affected him as a kid. All I know is that the Lord called him when he was in college and that the Lord changed his life radically. From that day forward, it literally was all about Jesus. And the inspiration that he had given me when I was moving to Hawaii was, it doesn't matter if you're going to someplace in North America. It doesn't matter that you're going to paradise. It's the fact that you're going to take Jesus with you no matter where you're going. And there are still people there who need to know Jesus. There are people who know Jesus there that need to be encouraged. Okay. That's valid. These are things that I didn't realize this, but having somebody speak it into you and tell you about this, that somebody that you respect, and all of a sudden you're going, oh, yeah. It just kind of defogs that vision. So those three people have legacy that we know of. There's three people here today, specifically, that have legacy. Adam, Wes, and Brad. Adam did a ton of the prep work for this church, as Wes has already mentioned. He helped found this church. The amount of time that he prepped for sermons is unreal. For those of you in school, think finals of your senior year in your hardest subject, and that's what he did for a weekly sermon. And this is sometimes 3, 4, 5 times a week. Back when he was young. Back when I met him. What were you doing? Like 9 high school Bible studies, 5 weekday, midweek Bible studies, and 3 services at Calvary or something like that? I mean, really? Does anybody, does he sleep? And then think about what Wes just said. The first night he met him, after he preached, they stayed up until 3 o'clock in the morning talking. That is investment. That is participating. That is building a future. That is putting others before yourself. That is putting Christ first, because the intent was to grow Wes, to introduce Wes to Christ if he didn't already know Christ, which he did. But, oh, you know Christ. Great. Now, how do I encourage you? How do I move you forward? Wes has done the same thing, and he actually used a swinger hammer too. That was when I met him. He actually was in construction at that point. Wes has done the preparation. He did the preparation out here. He also participated out here. He went back to Kansas, did preparation back there. His church has changed back there. His church is closer to the Lord. I know that because I hear the stories. I hear the reports back. People tell us things, not in gossip way, but we hear good reports. Wes is participating. Brad, I've watched him grow for the last 20-some-odd years. 27 years? He came in 90. Yeah, 27 years. I watched young Marine come in. Absolutely, hoorah. Young Marine come in, all full of swagger, which a Marine should be. And yet, I've seen that swagger turn into a swagger for the Lord. It's not, I'm swaggering because I'm a Marine, because I'm young, I'm tough, whatever. It's, I know Jesus. And when you have that reality in your head, there's not a lot that can dissuade you. When you realize who you serve and who you walk with and for, he's done the preparation, the schooling. He's prepared himself and taken himself before the Lord constantly. He's participated. If you guys have ever sat and counseled with him or sat and interacted with him through coffee or whatever, you know that he is participating in your lives. Today, too, specifically, while still being involved, are also the endurance part. They get to look back and go, yep, the Lord is good. He did these things. They will still participate. When I go back to Hawaii to go visit, I'll go look at those places. I'll go, I remember. That was tough. That was fun. We had to put that wall up in 40-mile-an-hour winds, 60 feet up. That was scary. I'll remember those things. But I'll also be able to look at it and go, that endures. That's part of me. Brad gets to continue participating in this. Brad gets to create that endurance. He's not at the finishing stage of the house. He's not at the framing stage. He's doing a lot of other stuff. Stuff that until you build a house, you don't know what goes into it. Because you move into a house when you buy it and you just kind of go, oh, cool, there's walls. I've got water. I've got electricity. When you build it, there's a lot more that goes into it. For those of you who have been in construction, you get that. He's doing that construction still with this church, with this body, with you guys. So I see this as a continuation of my last sermon on legacy, because legacy has happened and is happening. Now, you guys get to participate in all that, in how you interact with each other. Wes just alluded to it, which I'm like, oh, God, you're good. By the way, we didn't talk about this at all. You get to participate in this with how you react and interact with each other, how you interact with the body of believers outside of this church, how you interact with those who are not part of the body of the believers, as well as how you interact with both the staff and leadership here. That's also part of your legacy, not only theirs. So you can take pride in that, and not in the bad, haughty way, but you can be pleased that the Lord has done really good things. With that, Bradley. Would you come up? Again, I will try to do this without being weepy, but chances are very slim. Can I get the board of directors up here? Well, I guess that'd be Jeremy. since two-thirds of the board is up here at this point. Exactly. I've got the easy. I've got the transportable version. Hey, there's people in parts of the world that would give their eye teeth for this. Just this. I've got a big one. I've got all the pages. Brad, I read this to you when you were brought in or when you're announced as associate or the lead pastor pro tem. The saying is sure, whoever aspires to the office of bishop desires a noble task. Now, a bishop must be above reproach, married only once, temperate, sensible, respectable, hospitable, an apt teacher, not a drunkard, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, and not a lover of money. He must manage his own household well, keeping his children submissive and respectful in every way. For if someone does not know how to manage his own household, how can he take care of God's church? He must not be a recent convert, or he may be puffed up with conceit and fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must be well thought of by outsiders, so that he may not fall into disgrace and the snare of the devil. Jeremy?
Elder Shea, and the members of the board, it is my honor to present to you Reverend Bradley McDermott as a confirmed candidate for the position of lead pastor of Faith Worship Community. We have found him to be a man of true Christian experience and established character, married only once, temperate, sensible, respectable, hospitable, and apt to teach, not a drunkard, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He manages his household well and keeps his children submissive and respectful in every way. He is not a recent convert. He is well thought of by outsiders. He is blameless, not arrogant, not quick-tempered. He has no prejudice and is impartial. We have duly confirmed his candidacy according to our bylaws.
Thank you, Deacon Lenz. In the name of the Lord Jesus, and on behalf of the board, the elders, and the congregation of Faith Worship Community, I hereby accept and confirm this candidate. May I have the elders come forward? May I have the other pastoral staff come forward? Aaron, Bronson, and Paul's already up. May I have the pastors emeriti come up? May I have our former lead elder come up? These are the people that fight for you guys, by the way. Second Timothy 1:6-7. For this reason, I remind you to rekindle the gift of God that is within you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. 1 Timothy 1:13-14. Hold to the standard of sound teaching that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Guard the good treasure entrusted to you with the help of the Holy Spirit living in us. 2 Timothy 3, 14 through 4-5. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it and how from childhood you have known the sacred writings that are able to instruct you for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that everyone who belongs to God may be proficient and equipped for every good work. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I solemnly urge you, proclaim the message. Be persistent, whether the time is favorable or unfavorable. Convince, rebuke, encourage with the utmost patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not put up with sound doctrine, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own desires, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander away to myths. As for you, always be sober, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, carry out your ministry fully. Aaron? Okay, thank you. Nothing. Brad, do you accept this charge, and are you willing to go before God on behalf of his church, adhering to the teaching of Christ, preaching the good news of salvation, and ministering to both church and those who have yet to know him? Then before God, Christ's holy church, and this assembly, I recognize you publicly as the lead pastor of this church. I confer upon you all duties, rights, privileges, authority, and spiritual obligations attendant with this position. Pastors Emeriti. Gentlemen, you have known, you have led, you started this church. Would you please do us the honor of blessing our new lead pastor?
Son and the Holy Spirit. Pastor Brad, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and on behalf of this church, in full accord, in one heart, one mind in him, we bless you with anointing, with a double portion.
Amen.
With the gifts and power of the Holy Spirit. May your eyes be the eyes of Christ. May your heart be the heart of Christ. May your hands be the hands of Christ. May your words be the words of Christ. May you speak as an oracle of God. Mm-hmm. May you teach with his authority. May you be light and salt in this world. May you be a prophet. May the love of Christ shine forth from you always as it has.
May you tend the flock with honor. May he give you the strength to do so with joy. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. We'd actually like to bring Allie up as well, because the two are one. When he gets attacked, guess who else is getting attacked? When he gets joy, guess who else is getting joy? Flip side of that, when she gets attacked, guess who else is getting attacked? When he has to stand the gap for her, she also has to stand the gap for him. So we're going to bless you. We're going to anoint you, because you are stepping into a very, very big role. I don't know if you realize it yet. You got a part of it, but the Lord is going to bless you. I can see that. He already has. He's doing wonderful, wonderful things in you. So in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Lord, we lift up Allison to you. We ask that you would be her strength, that you would be sufficient for her. Lord, that she would be able to stand alongside Brad as he ministers. Grant him grace when he needs it, which is going to be often. Mm-hmm. Lord, grant her wisdom in speaking to him and when to back off and not. Lord, allow her the wisdom to know when he needs room to just commune with you and when she needs to be there with him. Lord, grant her peace in times when she doesn't feel the peace, that she would know that it's from you, that it would be supernatural, that the joy would be undeniable that it's from you, that the satisfaction of all things good would be realized that they come from you. Lord, grant her strength, grant her peace, grant her wisdom. She is a woman of God. And these two are the McDermotts. And you have put your stamp on them. Make it realized. In your Son's name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
So go ahead and have a seat. I get to preach. We'll be out of here in about 30 minutes.
45 if you're lucky. Sorry. Thank you guys. This is a tremendous honor, as has already been said. And as you guys might imagine, I've gone through quite a bit of thinking and processing and wondering about, I don't have to yell because I have the microphone. I'm not used to having a microphone, but I have. As you can imagine, I've gone through a lot of wondering about, you know, being worthy or being, you know, eligible or, you know, just whatever that might look like. Have I earned this? Have I done the right things? Have I gone through the right steps? And it's listening to, you know, Pastor Wes and Pastor Adam, and hearing all of those things, and you might think, wow, they've really earned those honors. And there's an element to where they have. There's distinction to be given to them. But I promise you, they've earned nothing. They've earned nothing. They've gotten to come along and serve, and we get to come along together. And I'm sitting here telling you the same thing. I've earned nothing. And so we're going to have communion together. And you might be sitting there thinking, man, I'm not worthy of this. I haven't done the right things. I didn't pray. I didn't put on deodorant. Whatever you think your problem is, Whatever is holding you from this table today doesn't have to hold you from this table. You have done nothing to earn this moment. In fact, I stand here because Jesus called me here. These men stood here today because they were called here. And I'm telling you, Scripture says right here and now that you are called to this table. You are called to commune with your Holy Father and through Jesus Christ, His Holy Son. There is no reason to hold back. He says that He knocks on the door, and if anybody should open the door, He will come and He will sup with him. This is our tangible moment to meet with Jesus Christ. And I want you to hear that invitation, and I want you to hear it more than an invitation. I just got here like pastor, right? So as pastor, I am telling you, do not stop coming to this table in the name of Jesus Christ. So if I could have the elders and pastors and however many people we need to do this. So here's how we're going to do it, just so we have it. We'll come to the